Accessing number 12712, Mr. S. Barker, Reel 4.
Mr. S. Barker, Reel 4. What kind of duties were you doing at Blackdown, Mr. Barker?
Mainly, probably once a month I'd do a guard duty, which would cover a 24-hour period. Other than that, it was just perhaps sometimes I'd do an odd fatigue duty at the corporal's mess or sergeant's mess, and other than that it was just carrying on with training duties, normal physical training and drilling, firearms, going to the ranges for fire duties. That's about all I can think of at the moment.
Had your hand weapons changed at all?
No. We still had the Lee Enfield rifle.
And had you still the Lewis gun?
Yes.
You said that you were doing training. Had this changed in emphasis in any way? Was it still the routine stuff?
It's still just the routine, everyday training, that was all.
The duties you mentioned fatigues. Were these the kind of fatigues that you were chosen in rota or some kind of do it?
Yes, this was, yes, quite so. It would be on rota.
There weren't the fatigues that came with discipline?
Oh, no.
You said you did the occasional guard duty. How was a guard mounted?
Well, there would be, say, six men whose turn it was to do the duty, and you'd parade at a certain time, say 9 o'clock in the morning, be inspected, and perhaps one man from the guard would be so clean and tidy that he would be picked as what was called a stick man, and he would not do guard duty. He would be just to run errands for the guard or for the orderly room.
You said that you paraded. Knowing you were going to be on guard the following morning, what kind of preparation did you have to do yourselves?
Our equipment would be blancoed, white belt would be absolutely spotless clean, cap badges, etc., all highly polished, boots would be highly polished.
And what form did the inspection take when you got onto the parade ground?
The officer would come and look over everything, try the look under the flaps of the equipment to see that everything was blancoed cleanly. You'd present your rifle for inspection. You'd look down the barrels to see that was clean. Go around the back of the guard and inspect everything from the back. See that your hair was short.
Check your boots?
Yes, everything.
Did that include underneath the boots?
No, I can't say that, no.
And you passed inspection. Do you ever recall anyone failing to pass inspection?
No, I can't remember that, no.
And the cleanest and tidiest, in the guard commander's estimation, became the stick.
Yes.
The stick man. What happened then to the rest of you?
We would march to the guard room and would be numbered off, and number one would go on duty, say, for the first 2 hours, then the next man would take over for 2 hours, and so on until the 24 hours is completed.
Did the officer stay with you?
Oh, no. The sergeant in charge of the guard would, or the corporal in charge.
And this went on through the whole of the day and through the following night?
Yes. So.
Were you subject to any check by the officer?
Only if there was any... he may suddenly come at sometime during the night and say, call for the guard to parade and inspect us again.
How did you get your meals if you're on guard all day and all night?
Well, there'd be you'd get your meal with the exception of the one person that was on duty, and then he would be relieved to get his meal.
And did you have to go to the canteen for that?
Oh no, it was the cookhouse that would supply the meal.
And was it brought to you at the guardhouse?
Yes.
If the officer appeared during the night, you were paraded outside the guardhouse for his
yes.
inspection. Was his inspection similar to the one he'd given you at the beginning?
It was, yes. Mm-hmm.
Was there a time factor for getting yourselves out and onto parade?
Well, you'd have to get out as quickly as you possibly could.
What was the guardhouse like?
Well, I cannot describe it very well in detail. It would be quite a small room with a couple of beds in, which you'd only be able to put down at night time to lie on, but not to have bedding or anything on it.
You slept with the uniform on?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Were the cells anything for any people in misdemeanors?
There were a couple of cells for if there was anyone in the battalion committing a misdemeanor, would be put in overnight.
The guard house would be by the gate?
Usually, yes.
And the man on duty, what was his job?
Well, it would be his job to check anybody coming in to see that they were genuine.
Was there a method of challenging?
Yes, halt, who goes there? And the person would reply, friend, and you'd say, step forward and be recognised. And if you recognise the person as one of your regiment, you'd be allowed to carry on into his barracks.
Did you have to give his name and rank and so
forth? Give his name, rank and number, yes.
There was no code name, no?
Oh, no.
Vehicles coming in and out, what was your job then?
Well, I can't actually remember anything that happened as regards vehicles, because there wasn't much movement of vehicles other than when we were going out on manoeuvres, and we would go out in block.
When you finished your guard duty the following morning, what was the routine then?
We would fall in on the parade ground and be dismissed by the sergeant.
Was there any kind of ceremony between your old guard and new guard?
Oh yes, of course, there would be a short, I can't remember the exact word for it, of changing over, a little routine, but I just can't remember it offhand.
I didn't ask you said you had rifle mm-hmm. and equipment What equipment did you have on?
We'd have an the webbing equipment with a full pack, haversack, water bottle, bayonet, rifle.
Did you have anything in your pack?
Just the regular things that we normally had. Socks, towel, soap, razor comb, lather brush, etc.
And your water bottle, was that empty?
No, that had to have water in it.
When you finished your guard and you'd been dismissed, were you free for the next few hours?
Oh, yes. Probably if we were dismissed at 9 o'clock in the morning, we'd be free that day.
What did you usually do when you'd been dismissed?
Probably go to bed.
And you would be undisturbed, were you?
I may be wrong in saying we'll go to bed, but we'll probably keep out of the way, go to the nappy, as it was known as at Blacktown, which was a sort of restaurant and where one could play billiards or snooker, etc.
And were you able to supplement your food at the nappy?
Yes, you could. Mm-hmm.
What was the favourite dishes?
Well, it was mostly just cups of tea and perhaps a chocolate biscuit or something like that. But one could get a good meal there if you wished. It was something I was never bothered with because the food in the camp was good enough to start with.
Did you get out in and around the countryside?
Yes, quite a bit. When I was doing cross-country training, I used to go out at night with another chap, pounding around the roads without any bother.
Was there much opportunity to meet the civilians?
Not really, no, because it was mainly army personnel in the area.
Again, did you go on leave?
Oh, yes.
How often did that occur?
Again, about once a month, really.
And was this just a long weekend?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Did you go home?
No. I used to go to a relation in London, an auntie.
How often did you get out at night for a break?
Well, other than being on any duty, I could go out practically every night.
But you said it was mainly an army area. You
didn't get very far. Yes.
Was there leisure activities within the main area?
Inside the camp.
Outside your barracks, but within the main area?
No, there wasn't much in the area. It was only a tiny village. That there wasn't really much going on. There was a church in the village, a garrison church, as it was called, which we used to go to regularly on a Sunday church parade, which I used to enjoy.
This would be a major parade, was it?
It was. Yes.
Were you led by the band?
Yes. It was quite enjoyable to, because that was a time when we did march to the light infantry pace, which would be about 140 a minute.
Was it far from your barracks to the church?
It would be about 3/4 of a mile.
And the whole distance was done at this pace?
Yes.
that bring the civilians out to see you?
There's very few that were there, yes. Yes.
Church parade, was this something that you had a choice in, or did you have to go on it?
Well, in a way, you could volunteer for it. But if your name came up for church parade, you had to automatically go.
And the church, was that Church of England?
Yes.
What about people of other denominations?
Well, I just can't remember what happened to them offhand.
Who gave the sermon? Was it a military padre?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
And after the service was over, what happened?
Well, we would march back again behind the band at the infantry pace. And then we'd be dismissed on the barracks square, and then go into barracks and get out of our uniform into overalls, etc., and then have a relaxing time of it.
So the rest of Sunday you relaxed?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Your uniform that you wore for this parade, was this your best or second? Or?
Well, it would be the best that we had, yes.
Before you went on the church parade again, were you inspected?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And was that similar to the guards' inspection?
Yes, but I don't think it was so bad, so much discipline about it as what the guard parade had been.
Were they instilling in you, whilst over this period of time, the history of the regiment and its traditions?
That was sort of pumped into us day after day, really, that our regiment was being true to tradition by its training and its... our bearing, etc.
Were any of these histories and traditional events marked by special parades?
Not that I can remember as such. I do have a slight remembrance of a Hooge Day being one in particular that was remembered, but I can't personally remember it as myself.
Were you training at any time, or had the opportunity to train with other arms of the services? For example, Air Force, tanks?
No.
You were doing your own motorized infantry role?
Yes.
How long were you in Blackdown, Mr. Barker?
Approximately 2 years.
Were there any changes in personnel, that officers and NCOs within your own unit?
I can't remember any changes in my company, no. There may have been changes in some of the companies, of course.
The officers that you did have and came into contact with regularly, have you any outstanding memories of them?
Not during that period, I can't think of any. There's only one in particular that I can bring to mind now, and that was an officer who took us on cross-country training, and that was an officer who went by the name of Crackers May, a character in the regiment.
In what ways was he a character?
Well, he was so unpredictable, I think, that he got the name Crackers. But he was a really good officer, and he was really outstanding as a sportsman.
And he was keen on cross-country running?
Very keen on cross-country, yes.
Is there anything else about any other officers or NCOs that you recall at the time?
Nothing outstanding, no.
How did you find your officers? Were they a mixed bag, or were they any weaknesses amongst them?
I can't say that I can pinpoint any weaknesses in any of them, no. I got on very well with all the officers I ever come in contact with.
They treat you all right?
Yes, very well.
NCOs, were there any, again, amongst your NCOs that were particularly good or opposite?
No, I think we had quite a good bunch of NCOs, yes.
There were no initiation ceremonies for people coming into the unit?
No, not that I can ever recall, no.
And were there any signs of bullying?
No, I would say no.
If men fell out, was there any course of action which was taken to iron it out?
Not that I can ever remember, unless it was in boxing matches, etc., but I can't pinpoint any myself, no.
Did you have boxing competitions and tournaments?
There were tournaments, yes, inter-company tournaments. But that was a sport that I didn't have anything to do with.
Amongst the men, Mr. Barker, did you have any particular close friends?
I had one friend who was he was the goalkeeper for the battalion football team, Chubby Green. And he originated from Stockton. And I learned later that he lost his life in India.
And this is before the war?
No, during the war.
Was this a relationship that had come out of the sporting activities, or you'd
met him? That's right, yes, it did. It came out of sporting activities, really.
Living in a camp, big camp, with lots and lots of men around you, did you find that the ladies were kind of missing in your lives?
No, I can't say that, no. We did have a what was called a passion wagon, which was a vehicle, a bus, mini bus, that was used to take us when we had a Saturday night out. Some weeks it would take us to Reading, another week would take us to London.
And what did you do in Reading, for example?
The main occupation there was drinking.
Is there any other outstanding memory that you have of Blacktown?
Not that I can remember now. No, I don't think there is.
Had your pay gone up because of becoming moving out of the early training situation into the...
I just can't remember, but I would imagine that it had gone up slightly, yes.
Did you have proficiency tests to pass?
Oh, yes. If you became a marksman with the rifle, you got what was called a proficiency pay, which was... I don't know, I can't remember now, but probably would be about sixpence a day extra.
This would be done on the ranges?
Yes.
What kind of standard of marksmanship did you have to display to get this?
No, I can't remember that, but I think as a marksman you'd probably have to get at least 80%.
Was that solely with the rifle?
Yes.
Were there any educational attainments that they gave you?
Yes. pass what was called a second class certificate of education.
And where did these lessons and lectures take place?
They would be in the barracks. But I can't remember any special place where they actually took place.
Who took the lessons? Who was the teacher?
There was an education sergeant.
Is this the education corps?
That I can't remember, but I think it would be, yes.
And if you passed the certificate, did this give you an increase in pay?
I think this may have come in with the proficiency payment, yes.
And could you go on from there to other qualifications?
It was possible to go on and get a first class certificate, but it was much harder than what the second class was, which I never bothered to go in for.
Do you recall what the pay would have been after these increases?
No, I just can't remember. It's so long ago.
Were you still giving an allowance to your parents?
I think it was at this particular time that I started to give them the allowance. While I was at Blackdown.
And how much was that?
I think it was about 4 shillings a week.
And that was taken out of your pay and sent
yes,
to them?
Yes.
Automatically? You didn't have to do it yourself?
Yes. No.
Had you any other expenditure out of your pay before you had it in effect for yourself? Official expenditure?
No, not that I'm thinking of, no. I can't remember any.
Were you still expected to pay for anything that you lost?
Oh, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And kit inspections were going on?
Oh, yes.
How often?
Well, actually, you'd lay your kit out each day so that the sergeant could check it every day if he wished to. It was there for inspection.
Did the officer ever inspect you for kit?
Very seldom, very seldom.
And if you'd lost it, say you had to pay
for
whatever was missing?
Yes.
And was it laid out in the prescribed form as it had been taught to you and trained in the depot?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you recall when you left Blackdown?
Yes, this was in October in 1937.
When did they tell you that you were going abroad?
Oh, it would be within about a month of actually going away.
How did you feel about the fact that you were going abroad?
I looked forward to it. It was an experience for me.
Do you recall that most of the men felt the same way?
Oh, yes, yes.
Had no problems with any that didn't want to go?
No.
Did you get an embarkation leave?
Yes.
And how long was that?
I think it was a fortnight. Can't remember exactly, but I think it was a fortnight.
How did your parents take the news that you were going away?
They weren't really bothered. They thought it was up to me, that if I was enjoying the military life, that they were pleased for me.
Preparations for going abroad, what form did they take?
Well, actually I can't remember too much about it, but just the fact that we all had to have our kit bags and ready to move off to go to Southampton.
What kit had you been issued with?
Special kit. It was just a khaki drill outfit, shorts, thin kiddie shirts, stockings. And I think that was all that. Oh, a topi.
And how many of these? I mean, how many pairs, for example? Did you have two sets, three sets?
I think it was two sets that we got of the shirt and shorts.
Were you given any lectures preparatory to going off to say where you, what you would, you could expect, what things you had to do?
Not that I can remember, no. No, no.
Were you just going over abroad or were you relieving someone?
We were actually going out to Shanghai, but there'd be a unit there that we would be relieving, of course.
Would that be a unit of another regiment or your
another
own 2nd
regiment,
Battalion?
Another regiment, yes, which I just can't remember, but I think it was the 4th Highlanders.